Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 10, verses 103 to 108. Okay. So 108 is on the board. So we'll start with, we'll do the Sanskrit or the Bengali for 108, and then we'll go back and read the other verses. Okay, we'll read from 103 to 108. When Sarup Damodar was residing at Navadvip under the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his name was Purushottam Acharya. After seeing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the renounced order, Purushottam Acharya became like a madman and immediately went to Varanasi to take sannyas. At the conclusion of his sannyas, his spiritual master Chaitanya Nanda Bharati ordered him, read the Vedanta Sutra and teach it to all others. Sarup Damodar was a great renunciate as well as a great learned scholar. With heart and soul, he took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. He was very enthusiastic to worship the Sri Krishna without disturbance, and therefore, almost in madness, he accepted the sannyas order. Verse number 108. Upon accepting sannyas, Purushottam Acharya followed the regular principles by giving up the tuft of hair and sacred thread, but he did not accept the saffron-colored dress. Also, he did not accept the sannyasi title, but remained a nice, sticky brahmachari. Purport. There are regative principles governing the renounced order. One has to perform 8 kinds of shraddha. One must offer oblations to one's forefathers and perform the sacrifice of viraja homa. Then one must cut off the tuft of hair called a sika and give up the sacred thread. These are preliminary processes in the accepting of sannyas, and Sarup Damodar accepted all of these. However, Purushottam Acharya did not accept the saffron color, a sannyas name, or a danda, and for this reason he retained his brahmachari name. Actually, Purushottam Acharya did not accept the sannyas order formally, but he renounced worldly life. He did not want to be disturbed by the formality of the sannyas order. He simply wanted to worship Lord Krishna without disturbance. Therefore, with heart and soul, he took up the renounced order, but not the formalities accompanying it. Renunciation means not doing anything but serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. When one acts on this platform, trying to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is both a sannyasi and a yogi. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 6.1. Sri Bhagavan Uvacham Anasritat Karma Phalam Kara Karma Karotiya Sasanyasi Cha Yogi Cham Na Nirnagnir Cha Chakriyaha. Translation. This is Krishna speaking. The Supreme Personality of Godhead says, one who is unattached to the fruits of work and who works as he is obliged is in the renounced order of life and he is a true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no work. Omagyan timirandasya gina jana salakaya chaksu unmilitam nina. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantika. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Pastyatyare Satarine Jai Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhar, Sivasati, Gaur, Bhaktavrinda, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You see, the Rupa Goswami has given the definition of renunciation. Nirbande Krishna Sambande Yukta Vairagya Uchchate. By which he explains, renunciation is not simply to give up things, but to use things in the service of the Lord. And when we say things, we mean a broader sense of definition, such as time, energy, intelligence, words, resources, whatever. This is actual renunciation. Renunciation, some people mistakenly think to give up things. There are certain things that are required in order to become fixed or get a foothold in the process of bhakti. And there are certain things that are considered to be in the category of restrictions. And it's called nishedas. There's vidis. Vidis means things to do. Nishedas means things to avoid. So in our process of devotional service, in the nectar of devotion, there's a long category of listings of the things that we should follow and the things we should avoid. Devotees are very good at following things, but they're not so good at avoiding things. that's my experience. It's all one, so whatever you do is okay because I'm a devotee, right? That's not the idea. So we have to be very clear on how to not get trapped by wrong activities which produce a type of results that are inauspicious and attaches one more to the whole cycle of action and reaction. Here we're hearing about Sarup Damodar. His brahmachari name was Purushottamacharya. He was one of the most, practically the most intimate associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahiyanya. Lord Chaitanya is Radharani's mood, but he is Krishna himself. He's non-different than Krishna, but he carries her mood as his mood of devotion. Nice. Sri Radha Gokulanandik Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Gornitai Kijai. And it's not mentioned here, but one of the reasons that Purushottamacharya wanted, although he took all of the formalities in terms of the rituals in order to progress to the platform of sannyas, in other words, he did all of the yajnas, and he also was an expert at Vedanta, and he was completely renounced, but he became the personal assistant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, practically the most intimate of all. We study from the intimate aspect of the identity of these personalities. We find that Sarup Damodar is Lalita Sakhi. He is one of Radharani's most intimate girlfriends in the spiritual world. And so another reason that he took the lesser position is not to be in a equal or a higher position than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted to be in the mood of service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he remained in the mood of a brahmachari, like that. But it says here, he also didn't want to get disturbed in his worship, because the external environment is very much inclined to worship those in that particular order, so he didn't want worship. He wanted simply to become the servant of the Lord and focus himself 100% on serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was so intimate with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that in Lord Chaitanya's last days, or towards the end of his last days when he was in the Gambira, the Sarup Damodar Goswami was more or less leading all the devotees who were taking care of Mahaprabhu when Mahaprabhu was going into the ecstasies of love for Krishna. Many times he would organize the devotees to find Lord Chaitanya when Lord Chaitanya was not to be found. He would sometimes just wander out of his room. He'd climb across the wall and get out. There was a wall around his room because he would go mad towards the end of his leelas. Mahaprabhu performed his leelas in three different categories. First, he was the arrogant scholar, where he was defeating everyone. And Nayak, logic, and various types of Sanskrit debates. But then he gave it up, took initiation from Ishwarapuri, and became a devotee. Then he inaugurated the Sankirtan movement. And that's more or less the Madhya Leela, where he was traveling everywhere. And of course, he went, after taking sannyas, he went to Jagannath Puri. Then from Puri, he traveled throughout the whole subcontinent of India. And Prabhupada says that he practically made the entire subcontinent of India Krishna conscious, just by spreading the Sankirtan movement. But then, in his last days, Mahaprabhu was... He went more into a... what is called Nirjan Bhajan. He went into an intimate mood of his own bhakti towards Krishna. Well, he is Krishna, but he's not playing the role of Krishna. It's amazing. Mahaprabhu's incarnation is the most amazing. He's God, but he acts like the servant of God. He knows he's God, but still at the same time, he's more in the mood of serving, to teach from the position of a pure devotee how a pure devotee should serve the Lord. The example of Mahaprabhu is the perfect example of how to execute devotional service. We study his life, we can understand some of the intricacies that would make up the platform. Of course, he took the sannyas order of life, and he did that in order to preach to the Mayavadi philosophers. He knew he couldn't reach the Mayavadis if he was in any other ashram, so he had to become like them in order to get their audience, and he did, and he actually defeated 60,000 headed by Prakasananda Saraswati, Mayavadis and Banaris, and made them all Vaishnavas. Just in one go, you might say. So Mahaprabhu's mission was to make everyone Krishna conscious. And he also told Nityananda, you get married. And Nityananda had no inclination to get married. He was an avaduta and he was completely absorbed in worshipping the Lord. But the Lord wanted him to use that ashram to reach those in the Grihastha ashram and also produce children, which he did. Actually, he produced only two children. One was the Supreme Personality of Godhead known as Shirodakshai Vishnu. And Birbhadra Goswami was the son of Nityananda. And then Vasudha, she was an incarnation of the Ganga, Ganges herself. So the Lord planned his movement in such a way as to reach as many different people as possible. And as Prabhupada also did that in organizing this Sankirtan movement to try to reach everyone and everyone with this mercy of Krishna consciousness. Not a select group of people who might be inclined to Krishna consciousness, but even those who are disinclined, just like the other day, was it Thursday, I went to a prison, we went to Liverpool, and we were in Liverpool, and we went to a prison. And it was three or four of us, one lady, Amala Manjari, and she had two assistants, two brahmacharis, and then myself, and we came, we brought books, and we got some support from the local administration. We had been there before the lockdown. And the guys came in. And these guys were... They wanted to give the class. It was like that. So when I started to speak, they interrupted me every minute. And they all had their own ideas on what is God and what is spiritual life. They all have their own, you know, concocted ideas. And they all think they're all right, but they're all different. So how could they all be right? Anyway, it was about a dozen of them. At one point, I said, well, I give up. I'm not going to try to say anything. I quit. So it was a tactic. And one of the inmates said, no, 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 no. And he started yelling at the other guys for interrupting me. So then he calmed everybody down. He was bigger than them. You know, when you give a class or any kind of, you know, orientation anywhere, everyone's on your side. They all want you to give the best class. They want to learn something one day. But when you go to jails, forget it. It's the opposite. They're against you. They want to challenge you. But somehow we did some kirtan. We also taught them some japa. They became a little, you know, what we say, submissive to the program. At the end, they all walked away with four or five books, along with signing up for a correspondence course, which was part of the program that we offered. Every one of them. And they were all shaking hands, thanking us, and everything went sweet at the end. So, and this is Mahaprabhu's movement. He went to the Jagais and the Mudais and those who were the most unlikely to become God conscious. But that's Mahaprabhu. He wants everyone to become Krishna conscious. And he's called Patita Pavana. The more fallen a person is, the more they're a candidate for Lord Chaitanya's mercy. That's Lord Chaitanya. So, of course, everyone in the material world is fallen in the sense that they are, you know, on the wrong path, but some of them are really fallen. They're so fallen they don't understand even what material life is. So this is Mahaprabhu. And so Sarup Damodar Goswami assisting the Lord. And then when the Lord finally went into his internal mood, he was the person who organized everything. And he was also there when Mahaprabhu would get into deep, Mahaprabhu would go into three different levels of consciousness. External, internal, and half internal and half external. When he would go into half internal and half external, the Lord would be speaking about seeing Krishna in Vrindavan. And he would be expressing his love for Krishna in so many ways. And there was only two people that could actually be with the Lord at that time. And that was Ramananda Roy and Sarup Damodar. It's interesting because Sarup Damodar Goswami is Lalita Sakhi, and Ramananda Roy is Vishakha, the two girlfriends, the most intimate gopis of Radharani in the spiritual world. So they manifested themselves in this particular Leela to assist Krishna in his mood of bhakti. The notes that was taken by Ramananda Roy, and Sarup Damodar later became some of the work along with Raghunath Das Goswami, which is now what we have, it's Chaitanya Charitamrita, that was written down. And that's towards the later part of Chaitanya Charitamrita when the Lord went into very deep ecstasy. So this process of Krishna consciousness, as it's illustrated here, is vairagya. When someone asked Prabhupada, how would you define your movement in a very succinct and very quick way, Prabhupada said vairagya, not renunciation. Our mood is to renounce things in this world in the form of using things for the service of the Lord. But then, as time goes on, one even renounces everything. And what is that? Renouncing everything, that means one becomes fully engaged in devotional service. So it's a progression. There's different stages of life as one traverses, especially for those in the Grihastha ashram. Then that's the time of life where you fulfill your desires, at the same time practice Krishna consciousness. But then the stage of life, which is towards the usually they say 50 years old or over, one starts to move away from all of the encumbrances and even the responsibilities of family life. Generally, the kids are grown up by that time, and one starts to move towards a complete renunciation. And for the women, this is called, they usually go to holy places and finish their life worshiping the deity there. And that's the type of sannyas that is taken for those who are in the female gender. For the men, they do the same, but at one point they take the position of sannyas and go out and travel and preach. So these different stages of life brings one ultimately to the higher consciousness where one, when it's time to leave the body, one is prepared. If we're still surrounded by friends, relatives, and family members in the time of death, then it's very difficult to get out of the entanglement of the cycle of birth and death. So the whole system of our Krishna consciousness is to gradually and progressively move away from the attachments of this material world, because even if one is not attached, but at the same time one is in the association, then it becomes very difficult to ultimately to focus our consciousness on complete absorption in Krishna. And so Sarup Damodar was an example of not wanting to be bothered by anything external. Even the preliminaries and the external features of the sannyas order, which would cause him to have to perform certain yajnas and rituals and at the same time be in a position to accept worship, because that is usually for the sannyas order. So in order to avoid all of that, he simply wanted to absorb himself in the service of Mahaprabhu, in the position of being the Mahaprabhu's immediate, and he was the most qualified. If Lord Chaitanya needed anything, even if he needed some answer to something, he would always go to Sarup Damodar. Sarup Damodar would always have the answer. When Raghunath Das Goswami came to surrender to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu put him immediately under Sarup Damodar's care. And he took care of him nicely. And Mahaprabhu would always ask to Sarup Damodar, how is Raghunath doing? Oh, his parents have come with their assistance and they want to give him some money so he can live. So he's taking the money and now he wants to use that money to buy boga so he can invite you for lunch. Lord Chaitanya said, very good. That's very good. And then after some time, he stopped inviting Mahaprabhu for lunch, and then Mahaprabhu asked Sarup Damodar, well, how's Raghunatha? Well, he feels like he's like a prostitute accepting money from his parents, so he doesn't want to take any more money now. So how is he living? Mahaprabhu said, well, he's going in front of the Jagannath temple, and when he sees the pujaris and others passing by, he's there with his begging bowl. Mahaprabhu said, very good. Very good. And then after some time, Mahaprabhu again inquired, well, how's Raghunath doing? Is he still, no more? Why? Well, he feels like his mind is not peaceful. He's thinking, well, yesterday that person gave me something. Will he give me something today? This other person didn't give me something. Maybe he should give me. So his mind was in this duality. So he was disturbed by that. So he gave that up. Then Mahaprabhu said, well, how's he living? Well, there's a place in the Jagannath temple. I think it's on the northern side. Southern side, I think. I'm not sure exactly what side. But I think it's the southern side. Where the prasadam of Lord Jagannath, when it gets old and it's not been taken, they throw it over the wall into this area. And there's cows there. And they're called the Trilunga cows. And the cows go through the somewhat, you might say, prasadam that is not edible. You might say it's because it's old and somewhat decayed. And the cows eat that. And there's a lot of hard rice in there that is not even cooked. So Raghunath, he's there. And he's going amongst the cows. And he's taking that same food and he's washing it off. And he's putting a little salt on it and he's eating it. And Lord Chaitanya got really excited. Let's go see him. So he went. And there was Raghunath. He was picking up some. He was, you know, between him and the cows. And he was picking up a little bit of rice and washing it off. Put some. And Lord Chaitanya looked at him. And he immediately ran and took it away from him and started eating it himself. And Sarup Damodar really got kind of like, he was aghast. What, Mahaprabhu, what are you doing? What are you doing? You can't eat that. That's not fit for you. Mahaprabhu said, I've had so many sabjis and curries and sweets and puris and something, but this, what Raghunath's eating, it's the best. And he wasn't just making some kind of, you know, fun. He was actually saying that he was tasting the renunciation of Raghunath Das Goswami in such a way that the Lord was really relishing that. So Mahaprabhu is in that mood. That the more we can practice detaching ourselves from the activities of this material, and we have to do it anyway. You have to, time forces you to do it, but sometimes when you're forced, it's not so easy. When you do it gradually, moving away from all of these attachments in this material world, then it becomes easy to focus on Krishna. Because this world is meant for you to get attached. That's the whole problem. The whole process is to become more and more attached to whatever else is on the market and whatever activities seem to be, what we say, social, familial, and so many other things. And people get into all of the rituals about that. But that's why it says in the Shastras that out of all of the yogis in this age, there's only really one yogi. Was it Krishna Varnam Tusa Krishna Sangopanga Saparshadam Yagnai Sankirtanai Prayai Yajanti Hi Sumedasyam. So Yagnai Prayai, that is the yogi in this age. What is it? Harinam Sankirtan. That is the yogi. And if one performs Sankirtan regularly, not just once in a while or when we have time, but regularly, one is performing the highest form of sacrifice. And even if you don't perform all of the other prescribed sacrifices that are mentioned in the Shastras for various types of auspiciousness or elevations, still you get the benefit of all of them simply by performing Harinam Sankirtan. Because that is the recommended in this age. So Sarup Damodar Goswami is more of like the example in the most highest form of example for one who is completely detached from everything. He was even detached from sannyas, which means to be detached. He was detached from that which is detaching. All he wanted was service. He didn't care what he didn't look. He wasn't looking for position. He wasn't looking for any kind of response from anything. He simply wanted to serve. And that is the highest form of devotion, simply to serve. That's all. Those who simply think, how can I serve? And whatever service you're doing, how can I increase the quality and the quantity of my service? Well, we get so absorbed in service that we forget about our material desires. Krishna will do that to you. He'll keep pushing you for more service because he's not that he needs the service. He wants you to forget about the other things you're doing. That's Krishna. He's like that. He keeps moving us by giving us more and more things. And then we think, I got this responsibility, I got that responsibility. There's a marriage coming up, and there's this, you know, the relatives are coming over, and, you know, there's this puja, there's that puja, and there's, you know, have to go on holidays to Turkey, some other place. But Krishna is saying, what are you doing? You've been doing that for how many lives? You still want to do it? So Krishna, through his spiritual master and through the material energy, he works in such a way as to help us become more and more detached from the activities in the material world and to become more and more attached to Krishna and devotional service. And that fulfills all of desires automatically and perfectly, because when we serve Krishna, it says when you serve Krishna, you can fulfill all of your desires perfectly and completely. When Krishna is pleased, there's nothing higher. And Krishna is only pleased by service. And that service which is done in the mood of pleasing Krishna, or in the mood of giving up. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he explains that that devotional service has to be done in a mood of sacrifice. It has to be a little difficult. If it's easy, there's something wrong. It's only easy when you're on the spiritual, fully on the spiritual platform. Because we're still struggling with the attachments of this material world, and therefore there's two energies working. One is pushing us towards Krishna, the other one is pushing us the other way. And so those energies will constantly be there. Constantly be there. Just like when there's one thing I was just talking to one of my disciples. Because we organize sometimes retreats, and devotees go on retreats. And sometimes it's for a week, and sometimes it's 4 or 5 days. And everybody's planning. And as soon as you plan for the retreat, something else on the material level comes up. All the time. It's without fail, no matter who you are. It's like that. Because Krishna says, all right, I'm not going to make it so easy for you. Maya is actually working in response to Krishna to help us become, to choose. Are we going to choose Maya or are we going to choose Krishna? Then we think, wow, you know, Krishna can wait. Because these other things can't wait. But Krishna said, how long are you going to make me wait, you know? So this happens all the time. I see it all the time. As soon as you plan something like some retreat or some group activity or anything, Maya has got some, don't you remember? This friend wants to talk to you. That family, you know, your distant cousin in Italy wants you to come for the marriage. So many things. Or the kids got to go to school and who's going to take care of them? So many things. You always find that. And that's just the way the material energy works. Krishna always does that. Because if you understand the process of bhakti, you understand you're always being tested every minute, every second, just to see where you are. And each time you pass the test, the tests get easier and easier. Every time you fail, then it becomes harder each time. Like that. It's just like when you go to school, the more A's you get, the more A's you get. It's just like that. So Sarup Damodar, he's an example of complete detachment from everything, even his own position as a devotee. All he wants is service to the Supreme Lord. And he's so qualified that Mahaprabhu relies on him for everything. Even when someone would come with Mahaprabhu, they would write something. They would glorify. There was one sadhu, he glorified Lord Jagannath. And he wanted to make this, it was a written glorification. He wanted to give it to Mahaprabhu to impress Mahaprabhu by his glorification. So Lord Chaitanya would give it first to Sarup Damodar to see if it was in line with the principles of devotional service. If it wasn't, if there was any kind of wrong understanding, then Mahaprabhu wouldn't even read it. He would let Sarup Damodar do it. And many times Sarup Damodar would do that also. He would find mistakes and tell him, "My, this is not going to You know, you're saying that Lord Jagannath is made out of wood. And there was one person, he was saying that the Supreme Lord has come in two forms. He's come in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in person, and he's appeared in wood in Jagannath Puri. But wood is just a material thing. He appears in wood, but he's not wood. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead who uses that particular material element to appear. But he has nothing to do with wood in that sense. So this person was glorifying Jagannath as being the wooden god. And that's brasa basa, or that doesn't fit within the mellows of devotional understanding. And so Srup Damodar just gave it back to him and said, Mahaprabhu's not going to read this. You have to get it right, you know. Yeah, as many examples how he protected the Lord, because the Lord would get really upset if he heard anything that was against the process of devotional service. He would either block his ears, or just like when Brahmananda Bharati, he wanted to impress Lord Chaitanya, so what he did, he put on some tiger skin. No, some tree bark. Some tree bark. He was a sannyasi. He put on tree bark, and so he came before Lord Chaitanya, and he sat there, and then Srup Damodar said, "Well, here Brahmananda Bharati is here to see you," and he was sitting right in front of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said, "I don't see Brahmananda Bharati. Where is Brahmananda Bharati?" Brahmananda Bharati does not wear tree bark. So immediately he gave him the message, like, you know, you're coming to see me, but not the way you should come to see me. It's like sometimes we go in front of the deities, and we wear any old clothes, you know, like jeans with cut things and like that. I mean, we can expect that from people on the outside. But for devotees, we should always come in devotional clothes, because we're worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that mood is, these clothes are actually given by the acharyas for the mood of temple worship. So if you have one dhoti, you can wash it and, you know, use it again like that. So wearing ordinary clothes to come to see the deities is like, means really we don't really understand what it means to come to see the deities. There's an old thing, there's a saying that comes in the material world, you eat to please yourself and you dress to please others. That's a statement. We dress in order to give pleasure to others. And especially when we come before the deities, we always should be dressed nicely in devotional clothes. It's just, Srila Prabhupada was very strong on that. Bhakti Charu Maharaj was really strong on that. He would chastise anyone who wasn't like that. So yeah, we should be very conscious of when we come to the temple, we're always in the right mood. And sometimes I know we got to go to work, and so we can't change clothes. We run to the temple to see the deities, and we're off to work, right, like that. But it takes a little time, bring an extra set of clothes, and just change real fast. It's nice. And it makes us look like we're actually devotees, not just, you know, anybody come. Just like I was seeing some devotees, they were doing Harinam Sankirtan. This was in one country in Europe. And they were all wearing, like, jeans. And I said, is this the street band or what? Come on. Our movement became popular because we were different. And we were dressed in a certain way. And people could identify us. People come up to me and say, oh, who are you? What are you, a Buddhist? I say no. And then I get a chance to talk. And then I tell them a little bit about Krishna consciousness. So wearing these clothes is also an opportunity to preach like that. Yeah, you can also, it's a message like that. So we shouldn't be ashamed to wear dhotis, or, of course, the women always wear nice saris. And that looks beautiful. And when the women come, you know, it's very colorful. It looks very devotional like that. So we should follow that very carefully, because this is our tradition. We shouldn't be ashamed of wearing devotional clothes, because we think, oh, if they see me as a Hare Krishna, what are they going to think? Who cares? But there are people who will appreciate, and especially when we come before the deities, we should always be. Because usually devotional clothes are really, really clean. When you come before the deity, it should be like that. Okay, so sorry if I chastised you. But that's what I do. That's my position. Anyway, any questions? Comments? Yes? You're asking what kind of dhoti you should wear? Or how to fold it? Okay, yeah, in the back there.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Is there any record of how Purushottam Acharya got the name Swarup Damodar?
Swarup, I don't think it might be mentioned. It's mentioned in another particular long, very long purport, where it describes that. It says here, Swarup is one of the names of the Brahmachari in the Sankaracharya disciplic succession. So he took, you know, he took from that line also, just like Mahaprabhu also, like, took from. It says, in the Vedic discipline, there are 10 names of sannyasi, and it's customary for a brahmachari assisting on sannyasi of the designation tirtha or ashram to receive the title Swarup. Damodar Swarup was formerly a resident of Navadvipa, and his name was Purushottam. Yes, so it says here, he adopted that brahmachari name, which is one of the 10 type of ashrams that serve in the aspect of brahmacharya, like that. And the word, the name Damodar doesn't give, but it gives the understanding of Swarup is a title that was adopted. That came when he was in Varanasi, when he was instructed by his spiritual master to enter into the ashram there and learn Vedanta. Damodar, I don't know how that name particular doesn't mention anything here anyway. It says here, actually a sannyasi, he should have been called Tirtha, but he chose to retain his original brahmachari title, Swarupa. So that was his brahmachari title. Okay. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You were speaking about the gradual detachment. I just wonder, because sometimes we can be, if we try and be too renounced before we're ready to be that renounced, then we could do it for a little while, then of course we swing back.
Well, when are you going to be ready? When are you ready? How do you know when you're ready?
That's what I want to know.
Don't wait till the last minute. There's a story, Prabhupada tells a story about a grain merchant in India, and he's got his grains, and he's outside in his little stand. And then a big wind comes and blows all his grains up in the air, and he says, "My dear lords, please accept my offering." So don't wait till everything is taken away, then you think, well, there's nothing left but to renounce. No choice. Yeah. Always look towards that mood. And it helps you to get a better foothold. And the more you renounce anything that is not able to be used in Krishna consciousness, the more, of course, there are also things that even yukta vairagya, we can get too yukta and think, well, yeah, I can get my sports car and drive all around and do sankirtan in it. I'm very renounced because I'm doing sankirtan. And I have a fast car, that way I can get to many places, you know. Be careful of that mentality too. So, you know, you have to see, is this for Krishna or is it just for me? Sometimes we want to think it's for Krishna, but actually we still have that tendency to enjoy. You live in the ashram, right?
Yes.
Oh, you're okay.
There's a lot of opportunities still there for
us. Yeah, but the ashram, in that mood, it encourages the mood of renunciation, like that. And to give up sex life is the highest form of renunciation. And if you give up that, everything else is easy. That's the most difficult form to give up. Yeah. As soon as you give up that, then all other forms of renunciation are just routine. Yeah. But we have to give it up in total, not just in activity. That means in consciousness also. If we're still meditating on it or still inclined to be attracted to that while we're practicing renunciation, then it's somewhat artificial. Therefore, we have to hear what is the pitfalls of such attraction and attachment, and how that is a big stumbling block for brahmacharis like that. So we base everything on transcendental knowledge, because whether we like it or not, if we always refer to what is right based on scripture and guru, then we're in the best position. But if we go by how we feel or not feel, then we're in trouble. We could be, you know, victimized by that. That's why we have to learn this knowledge, this philosophy, so we can apply it when we're in different situations. That's what it's for. Oh, this is what my spiritual master says, this is what the Shastra says, and therefore I must follow. Okay. Anyone else? Well, yes, Mataji. Yeah. We can bring a microphone over to...
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Yesterday, one of my family members, relatives, challenged me by asking me that, has Prabhupada seen God? So what should we answer in such situations, like without offending them and without getting agitated and angry on such questions?
Prabhupada was asked that question a few times. Prabhupada answered it twice different. There's two ways to answer it, and Prabhupada answered it both ways, depending on the person. One, he said, yes, I'm seeing God, and you can too. He's right there in the temple. Just go in. He's there. That was one way. But then there's another way, when he really revealed his spiritual acumen, he said, there was never a time I was not seeing Krishna. Now, he was always absorbed in Krishna, in either chanting Krishna's name or meditating on Krishna. So he gave that, he said that himself. That, you know, never was I, was there a time I ever forgot Krishna. So we take his word for him. He was not trying to present himself as being advanced. He was actually speaking from reality. Thank you. Yeah. Yes, Elena?
Hare Krishna. We must to be authentic in our spiritual life. The story you told about the boy who kept interrupting you has given me a suggestion. When a person is not open to receiving truth or spiritual love, how can we help him? The assumption is that everything is in the hand of Krishna. Guru helps us to find the way to the heart by putting us at the lotus feet of Krishna. How to open your heart authentically to a spiritual master, and how should you desire the spiritual master?
How should you, what was the last one, desire?
The mood in desire.
Well, Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita. Tad viri pratipatena paripasyena sevaya. He says, do three things when you approach the spiritual master. Pratipatena, paripasyena, and sevaya. Pratipat means falling flat, in other words, dandavat, in a position of humility. Paripasyena means to inquire, to ask questions that are relevant to your spiritual life. And the last one is to be ready to do service whenever it's required. These are the three principles by which a disciple executes the devotional service. Humility, inquisitiveness, and service and service.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu. Okay. We'll come back to Mataji as soon as,
Thank you, Maharaj. I was hoping you could help me understand why Swarup Damodar was, even though he was not accepting full sannyas, he was still accepting partial sannyas, even though he didn't want to really officially accept the title. I mean, how, of course it shouldn't be imitated, this mood, but how, I mean, how should we, see these formal processes?
Your question means that should we do that or also? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just trying to understand the mood
His mood was he didn't want to be, it says here in the purport, he just didn't want to be disturbed by all of the external features. You know, like, I'll give you an example. Maharaj, can you sign my book? Maharaj, can you give blessings? My wife's pregnant. Maharaj, can you cut the cake? It's my birthday. Maharaj, I have a nice garland for you. Maharaj, can you come to my house? I need some punya. you want me to continue? It's a long list. So these are all of the external things. The real position is to inquire about spiritual life like that. So we do all of these other things because they're also part of the culture. But they're external. So Swarup Damodar Goswami didn't want to be bothered with all the formalities and all of the trimmings that come with Maharaj, first grains. Oh yeah, we feed the baby. Okay. I must have fed at least a couple hundred babies so far. I mean, I don't mind, but you know, there's other things to do too. So you know, when you're in these positions, you're asked to do. There's a lot of apparent doing due to the cultural trimmings come along with that. And then, but Swarup Damodar says here, it actually says, He wanted to worship this Lord Sri Krishna without disturbance. Therefore, with heart and soul, he took up the renounced order, but not the formalities accompanying it. Yeah. That was his desire. Okay, there's one Mataji in the back, and then we'll come back to you. Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your class.
Hare Krishna.
So you mentioned a little bit about the three moods of consciousness of Mahaprabhu, and you talked about the external moods. Would you be able to like roughly explain the internal and the internal external moods as well?
The three states of consciousness? One time when Mahaprabhu was walking along the beach, he saw a sand dune, and he thought it was Govardhan Hill. And he started to run really fast towards it. Swarup Damodar became alarmed. They chased Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu fell down before he got to the sand dune, and he went into internal consciousness. And then they were trying to bring him back to external consciousness, and when they did, Mahaprabhu said, "Where am I? Why have you brought me here? I was watching Krishna. Krishna was with the gopis, and they were entering into the cave in Govardhan, and now I'm here. Why did you bring me here?" So this was one example of how Mahaprabhu would go into the Vrindavan Leela, and he would be there witnessing Krishna's pastimes. It was a complete trance of meditation. And so external consciousness was when he was dealing with his devotees in different ways. Half internal and half external, he would be speaking about his internal, and at the same time he would be on the external level. Like that. And sometimes he'd go back and forth between the internal and the external. That's the half-half, like that. Yes, Prabhu.
Hi, Krishna. Thank you for the class. I really liked your point about how the Brahmacharya Ashram naturally is that mood of renunciation. I wanted to ask, for those moving to or in the Grahastha Ashram, it's there's kind of a natural having to accept so many worldly things. So I want to ask around how to keep that mood of renunciation still, but then I guess it's being renounced by engaging with it. Like there's, you know, devotee can have no attachment for say having a job, for example, but because their natural inclination is to live outside the temple and be engaged in that way, they may have to accept, say, a job or a house or like the things that come with that lifestyle. So they have to be renounced but sort of accept it still, and that can be challenging.
Well, the most important thing is they're a devotee engaged in devotional service. If you find yourself coming to Krishna consciousness in a very, what we say, materially good position, fine. You don't have to change that. But if you're in a lesser position, and you think, I got to increase my material situation so I can be a better devotee, then you're in Maya. So the principle is simplicity. And Krishna mentions in the Ishupanishads, Ishavasham idam sarvam, yatkincha dyadagan jagat, tena jaktena bundi jaham agradaha kasaswiddhanam. Everything in this world is owned, everything animate and inanimate is owned and controlled by the Supreme Lord. And one is required to take their quota. So a quota for one person, that means your material quota, may be different from another. But one has to find out what that balance is and work in that way. And so if we don't try to work in that way, sometimes we get too encumbered in the material thing, or we can also become too renounced. So there was one girl, she came to me, she said, "My husband, He doesn't talk to me. He just wants me to cook and wash clothes, that's all. And all he does is read Chaitanya Charitamrita all day. Haribo. So I said, well, he shouldn't have got married. But he wanted to read Chaitanya Charitamrita all day, and he wanted to have someone to cook and have wash clothes, so he got married. That's not the purpose of marriage. So that's the other extreme. That's the other extreme. So there should be there is duties that one has to perform within the grihastha. Like there's duties for all of the ashram. But the principle of simplicity and living according to needs is the foundation for all of the ashrams. So that's why it says in the scriptures, know thyself. Know what you need so you can keep body and soul together and be able to take care of your material responsibilities and also execute devotional service without any difficulty. So that's something you have to work on. Getting advice from other grihasthas who are successful is one of the ways to get some assistance like that. Usually when we just read the philosophy, we can't really apply it exactly how we should. So it's the examples of other grihasthas who are fixed in Krishna consciousness is the best way we can also learn. That's why we do. We take guidance from others. Okay, is that all right? Okay, so it's a little bit after the time, but thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.